Hello, and welcome back to Hiba is Writing. I'm your host, Hiba, and it's good to be back. I'll start this episode off with addressing the prolonged absence. Hey, it's been a while. I've been dealing with stuff. Burnout and work, mostly. I wish I had a more glamorous reason for my disappearance, but it really is just adult life kicking my butt. But I learned some lessons. I realized that I need to focus my efforts on doing something that I love. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as I had that realization, my motivation and creativity started seeping back into my bones. So today, I'm going to be relaunching season 3 of the podcast with this episode. And since I'm at a place where I'm revising and editing 2 standalone murder mystery novels, I decided that today I'm going to be sharing my current editing process. So, personally, I have found that the editing phase can be a force to be reckoned with. If you've ever reached that stage in your story writing, you might have had a similar experience. At this point of writing a novel, you're usually faced with this huge document which needs editing, and sometimes it's hard to even know where to begin. To make matters more complex, there's more than just one kind of editing. There are developmental and conceptual edits, there are structural and evaluation edits, there are line edits, there are copy edits and proofreading, and so on. I'm sure there are others out there that I haven't listed that I don't even know about. But yes, there are a lot of different sub-levels that exist under the umbrella of editing. So when you enter the editing phase, it can be a bit overwhelming. Of course, writing the book itself is hard enough, but going over the book and combing through it, that can be a beast of its own. And that, my friends, is the beast that I'm currently doing battle with. So it's kind of what I have at the forefront of my mind at this point in time. In fact, editing can be so overwhelming that you might also experience a startup procrastination, where the hardest part of working on the thing is just getting started on the thing. And I know myself, and that's something that I am prone to. So I have found that if you organize your editing process and put a system in place, it can make things seem a lot less overwhelming. And that is what I did for myself. So in hopes that this can give you an idea of how best to put your own editing system in place and break it down into manageable chunks, I'm going to be sharing my process, my system, as it currently stands. Which is to say, it might not be like this forever, probably won't, if I'm being honest. I changed my processes and systems a lot. And a large part of that is that it will, the requirements, what I need out of a system that I put together for writing a draft or editing a draft or anything along those lines, changes from project to project, but it also changes at different stages of my writing journey. I have found that it's good to keep things in an adaptable state, to keep things dynamic, so that you don't feel like you're stuck doing the same thing, even when it doesn't work for you or for that particular project. So, along the same lines, all of us have different skills, all of us have different writing approaches, and our manuscripts have different needs. So it stands to reason that you'll probably have to change and adapt whatever systems you create to better suit your needs in general. But again, I want to emphasize this, also the needs of the particular project that you're working on, which means that there probably will never be a one-size-fits-all solution. And actually, that's something that I've come to realize is the case for every single part, every single element in the writing process. There is never a one-size-fits-all solution, whether it's plotting versus discovery writing or how to revise, how to edit. There's no best way to do something. There is the best way that works for you at that particular point of time with that specific project. At least that's how my experience has unfolded so far. So, as a result, I myself have gone through many different kinds of editing processes, and the one that I'm currently using is the one that works best for the 2 projects I'm working on, which I'm very excited for because, you know, this past year, I had somehow forgotten that I have 2 full drafts, novels that I've written, and they're done, and they just need editing, and they need polishing, and they need a little bit of revising, and, you know, and they're good to go. And it got me really excited, you know? So anyway, yes, enough talking. Let's just go ahead and get started. So my writing process is, it's a little lengthy. I prefer to edit as I write. So usually it takes a really long time for me to finish a first draft in the first place. I know. There's a lot of advice out there that goes against this because it stifles your ability to write freely and so on and so forth. And there is a lot to say for that. You know, I'm not saying that that advice doesn't work or that it's not true, especially when it comes to free writing and discovery writing and just kind of brainstorming and seeing where a project's going to go. I think editing as you write might actually hinder your progress, but I do that. It's a habit of mine. I've gotten comfortable with it, and it actually really bothers me and distracts me when I don't fix something that I see is wrong in my draft as I'm writing it. And I really have tried a bunch of different approaches, and at the moment, this is still the one that suits me best. I really prefer to edit as I write because I also like to see something that is somewhat, you know, decently polished when I read over my story. It gives me a better idea of here's what this book is going to end up looking like. So that's that. But what that generally means is that in terms of grammar, spelling, sentence structure, syntax, all that good stuff, my drafts end up looking quite all right when it comes to these things. What I'm not always great at, and what this doesn't help me with, is plot. You know, I'm good with the first part of the story, the rising action, basically, you know, act one. Somewhere in act two, I start kind of losing it. And I think there's a very technical term for that. I believe it's called the muddy middle or the sagging middle, whichever one you prefer, something along those lines. I'm very, very familiar with the concept of the muddy middle. I hate it with a burning passion. And usually I bump into this wall because I don't do a lot of plotting and planning beforehand. Or if I do, I end up changing my mind halfway through writing and end up without a plot again. It's actually really messy. My plotting process could use some work, to be fair. But anyway, my point is I need to work on plot and plot holes when it comes to editing my novel. So that's one of the biggest weaknesses I find in my writing at this point in time. So that's generally the first thing I feel like I have to approach. So phase one of my editing process, revising and editing the plot. I believe this is pretty much the same thing as a developmental or structural edit. And in the past, I've approached this in a lot of different ways. But recently, like I said, I found myself looking at these drafts, these huge, almost 200-page documents, and feeling at a complete loss for where to even begin. So many pages, so many words, so many scenes. How do I keep track of it all? Where to even begin? Overwhelming, to say the least. Since I'm working on a murder mystery, I did a little digging around online, and I found a murder mystery framework online and used it as a kind of checklist as I checked over my plot to see where I could improve the story. So, for example, the framework might say something like, make the crime around which your story centers unique, unusual, and a baffling crime. So I'll analyze that. Is the crime in my murder mystery unique? Has it been set up to be, you know, baffling and unusual? Do I have this? Do I have these elements? In one of my murder mystery novel drafts, the answer is yes. And I know which one I'm talking about because I'm actually very excited about that one. Although it's caused me some issues with my plot, which is another thing that I'm going to have to revise and edit. But in the second murder mystery novel, the answer is kind of. And then my next step is to decide whether or not I really need to change the nature of the crime in the second novel to make it more unique. And if so, how to do that and how that might affect my plot in the overall. So that's just one tiny example of how I might use this framework or any framework to go through a story's plot piece by piece, break it down, and fix it up where it may need fixing. And in some places, I'll realize that I stray from the framework, that I stray significantly from the framework. But I'll decide that maybe I don't mind that too much because I want the story to go in that direction. So one of the murder mystery novels actually does stray quite far away from the framework after around chapter 3 or 4 in the framework. And I prefer it like that. I want it to go in that direction. So I haven't done anything to try to kind of put it back on the rails, so to speak. So yeah, I'll make decisions. I'll review all the clues. I'll review all the red herrings in my story. I'll review all of the suspects. I'll make sure it all makes sense and connects in a way that is logical. And of course, I want to revise all of the subplots to make sure I'm not leaving any gaping plot holes in my story. Now, obviously, you don't need to use a framework. It's just something that I found helps me in an area that I will admit I'm not all that skilled. Plotting is sometimes the bane of my writing existence. Alas, even if I start off with discovery writing, which I do, plotting must be done sooner or later. And I find that usually once I hit that muddy middle, that's where I need to stop everything and pull out my flashcards and figure out the rest of that plot and where it's heading. This part is also usually where I take a look at my characters. Are all of the characters introduced in the story, are they all necessary to the story? And if they aren't, do I really want to keep them anyway? Are they really that important for me to keep? In one of these drafts, as an example, I had a character who took up a huge part of the story. She was in about a fourth of all of the scenes in the book. And in fact, her storyline set up what I was hoping was going to be a sequel. But during this editing phase, this plot editing phase or revising phase or whatever you want to call it, I actually made some pretty big plot changes that essentially removed the need for her entire character because I'd gotten rid of that entire subplot. I want to make this a standalone novel. I don't want to make it a novel with the chance of having a sequel. So yeah, that's a sizable chunk of plot. Poof, gone. No need for it. And this kind of major revision can sometimes be really challenging because it's essentially critiquing your work and accepting that certain elements, which you might love, need to be cut or changed. But it also forces you to figure out what's important in your story. And that does sometimes mean making tough decisions. I like this character enough that I might give her her own story, her own standalone novel, but I don't need her in this one. In fact, if anything, she just complicates the storyline in a way that it doesn't need to be complicated. So, yeah, I'm trying to get into this headspace where I can confidently say, okay, I worked on this draft, I did all the fun things I wanted to do with it, and I've had my fun with it, but now it's time to get professional. Now it's time to get serious. And that means doing what's best for the story, not just what I like most. And I have found that getting into this kind of a mentality has helped me a lot. It has helped me a lot. So I'm trying to think of it as, you know, I had my fun. I did what I enjoyed doing. I don't have to delete that. I can save this particular draft of the book and put it aside. I really enjoyed it. But now I have to be serious. Now I have to be professional. That doesn't mean I can't enjoy what I have in my finished draft, in my finished book, but I do have to make sure that whatever I do have in there makes sense, works together to create a good, impactful plot, is something that readers are going to enjoy and that's going to have an impact on them, hopefully. So, you know, it's, you know, it helps. It helps to mentally prepare yourself for that. You can also have a checklist of plot items you may want to focus on. Just having something to guide you can really help you sharpen your focus on areas that you need to give attention to. So, like I said before, plot in general is such a big part of your story. And for me, this is where I need to focus most of my attention. Because plot comprises of your overarching plot, your subplots, and by extension, your character arcs and character development. It's kind of a pretty massive undertaking to review and edit plot, so having some kind of helpful checklist or framework that you prepare beforehand, this, for me anyway, in my experience, this has helped guide this first stage of my editing process and has made it so much easier for me to stay on track and not get distracted and, you know, put aside these books and these novels and forget all about them because I'm just having a bit of a tough time doing the editing, you know? One of the things that makes this easier, though, is that for the first time, in my case anyway, when you're done with your draft and you're revising it, you have the overall picture of your story in your head because you've written the whole thing. And that can help you identify the powerful parts of the story and the parts that are maybe not so powerful or not as powerful as you wanted them to be. Of course, not every part of your story has to be powerful, right? That's how you make sure the powerful parts of your story actually stick out. But if there's a part of your story that should be powerful, but doesn't pack as much of a punch as you want it to, that's something to revise. Another thing that I did during this revision stage, so it's actually turning out that the revision stage is, it feels like it's got a lot of steps and it's very complex and it's, you know, it's going to take a lot of time. It didn't actually take me as much time as it sounds like it did. It's much easier because really all you're doing is you're going through your manuscript and you're highlighting stuff and you're making comments and you're, you know, changing colors, like, you know, maybe red means consider removing this line, you know, maybe you put in a comment here, like, does this make sense? Does the timeline here, does it work out? Is it logical? So on and so forth. But yeah, anyway, it's not the longest part of the process. The longest part of the process is coming up after the revision stage. But just to finish up what I was saying about the revision stage, another thing that I do during the revision stage is that I go through and, well, for this particular set of novels, I went through and I actually researched some investigation-related elements that I wasn't completely knowledgeable about, since I don't work in forensics and, you know, generally I don't have that kind of knowledge just rattling around in my brain. And these are murder mystery novels that engage detectives, police, authority. So I need to know how they actually work. And the other thing was actually in one of the novels, I realized that I set up a crime wherein the perpetrator would actually, with today's technology, be very easy to identify and track down. So I had to make a decision. Do I change or heavily edit the crime itself? Or do I find a way to make it so that the culprit is able to evade the police regardless of whether or not they know that it was them? And so I had set up this entire book, this entire murder mystery revolving around this crime that in reality would be solved super quick. And I had to go back to the drawing board there and I had to figure out, okay, well, what am I going to do about it? First of all, do I need to change the crime or do I need to put together, a follow-up wherein the perpetrator still evades the police? And I had to make that decision. And then based on whatever decision I made, obviously there had to be pretty major plot changes that needed to be made in order to accommodate for that change. Usually I make a lot of decisions in the revision stage. I'll write all of these decisions and notes down in a separate document. And then once that's done, it's on to the actual editing of the scenes in the book in order to apply these decisions and changes. And that is probably the longest phase in my editing process, as I believe it will probably be the longest phase in anybody's editing process. There are simply so many elements to keep track of, to break down and evaluate, and to edit. So that's the overall editing plot of the editing process, which is basically where I'm at right now. Next up after that is the line editing. And this is where you look at sentences and paragraphs. How are they flowing? In particular, this is where I like to make sure that the tone of the story remains consistent or that the tone in a particular character's point of view is consistent. Mood, style, tone, voice, all of these elements I try to focus on in this phase of the editing process. It generally takes a lot less time to do this, but I do feel like I have to be particularly careful here. It's very easy to keep changing and changing and changing the wording until finally you end up with something that's maybe a bit over the top, especially if you're going in and adding more descriptive words and phrases. And this has happened to me before. I rewrote a short story, I edited it, and added in a lot of description, a lot of I wouldn't go so far as to say that it was purple prose, but there was a lot of description that I added into it, a lot of adjectives. I tried to put in some fancier verbs and stuff like that. And I realized afterwards that I actually liked the original draft much more than the edited draft, because it was just, it was simpler, it was blunter, it was cleaner. I felt like I added way too much other stuff to my edited version in the quest for something that's a little more descriptive and that has a little more mood. So you do have to strike a good balance. Sometimes it's very easy to go over the top. I try to add in description here too, because I always feel like I'm lacking description in my scenes. While I personally enjoy them that way sometimes, if you've read Apartment, you'll know what I mean. A lot of it is, it really is supposed to make you feel like this could be anywhere, and this place is not necessarily, there's a lot to say about the setting in Apartment, so I'm not going to go into that. But yes, I left a lot of Apartment in terms of description. I specifically left out a lot of description in Apartment. And yes, so I personally enjoy doing or writing sometimes my books and my stories in this style. But as there always will be, there are specific areas in a story where description is actually helpful to the reader's understanding and comprehension. So going through and specifically focusing on that can also be helpful. So wherever you do apply description, and maybe a little more description than usual, you need to focus on these areas. Obviously, you need to make sure that you're not info dumping and you're not just like going on and on for two pages about how a bedroom looks, but, you know, balance. Finally, when all of that is done, it's going to be time for me to do a final proofreading edit. So that's where I go through and make sure that I spelled everything correctly, make sure that I chose the right words in all the right places and used them correctly, make sure that there are no punctuation or grammar errors, so on and so forth. That's a super quick process, and I actually like to do that by turning my document into an ebook. So I don't know if Microsoft Office Word has this capability. I feel like it probably should. But in LibreOffice, which is what I use, I can just save my document as an EPUB file. Then I'll put it on my phone, and or I'll email it to myself and open it on my phone. And voila, you have an ebook. And I go through, and anytime I see something that needs a final polish or a quick edit, I'll highlight it in my ebook reader and leave a comment there with the correction. Easy peasy. What happens is once I'm done with that, I will literally just go through my comments and my highlights, because in my ebook reader, I use Lithium. In my ebook reader, you can pretty much just see your highlights on their own, and that makes it a lot easier to just look at, okay, what are the edits that I need to do? But I'm pretty sure you can do that on a PDF too. The other benefit of putting this into an EPUB is that I'm seeing the book in a different layout and presentation, which everyone will tell you really helps when it comes to identifying errors that you wouldn't otherwise notice or recognize in your document, because you've been looking at the same thing for I don't know how many hours, but changing it up really helps. You can also do that just by changing the font type and size on your document. You don't really have to make an EPUB or a PDF, so it really is just about what you prefer and what's going to work best for you. And yeah, that's usually my editing process done, unless I want to get some beta readers involved, which I did do with Apartment. In that case, it's a case of putting together a few questions, a little bit of a guiding, you know, guiding questions thing to make sure that they know what kind of information you're really looking for, what kind of feedback you're looking for. And then it's a case of waiting for their feedback and deciding whether or not to apply edits to areas of concern that they highlight. Because again, it really just comes down to you. Not everything that a beta reader points out is going to be something that you're going to be comfortable changing. And it's at your discretion, but you should consider everything very seriously, but also consider it in the context of, does this make your story better? Does this harm your story? Or does it, you know, improve it? But hopefully they aren't huge edits, because otherwise you have to go back and do a lot of editing again, and you've just come out of the editing phase. It can be a little bit repetitive, but yeah. So that's my current editing process for my stories. At any stage of the editing journey, it may actually help to get your manuscript printed out. I did this for the first time recently, and it didn't even cost me as much as I thought it would. I was very surprised. And as I was working on the edits for these two novels, after a while I got I got really sick of staring at my computer screen. So I was trying to do the revisions. It was just making me dizzy, you know, having to scroll through 200 or so pages on your laptop, you know, on your screen, and just so much scrolling, so confusing. And I had a headache just thinking about going onto my laptop, opening the document and interacting with it. That's how bad it got. I was feeling nauseous almost, like my head was just, ugh, no thank you. So I printed out my manuscripts. And since then, I have been truly enjoying the editing process. It's so much easier to apply revisions and identify issues on a physical manuscript versus scrolling through hundreds of pages to find that one scene or that one paragraph. But also, it can be a huge mental boost to have a physical manuscript in your hands. Having these two thick, spiral-bound documents in my hands, the amount of pride and happiness I feel knowing that I wrote every single word in them and that these are two whole books that I wrote, unparalleled. Beautiful feeling. And it lasts for weeks, if not months. It's an amazing feeling. 110% recommend. Yeah, and that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast. I hope some of what I've shared with you will help you in your own editing process. It has been a while, but I'm glad to be back at last. And of course, as always, if you want to get in touch with any questions, comments, or suggestions, you'll find my social media in the episode description. So until next time.